Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 191. And the season started, and that's been a good show. So thank you all. It's lovely.
Thanks for listening
to us. We'll be back next week. I'm here today with Annie and Chris. Sorry, I've just been sat in a presentation at work that was a bit less than tedious.
Yeah.
I think there's a ranking below tedious, so my brain's gone to mash a bit. Nice place, well, not a particularly nice place to start the show, but an apt place. Last week, you, Andy Franks, and Jim were having a go. Oh, no, in fact, Dan was having a go at you two for reading out the scores. And one person.
We weren't reading out the scores, though.
I'm going somewhere with this. One person who did read out the scores, don't go for my beer, go for your own. One person who did read out the scores to great distinction for a long time was James Alexander Gordon, the voice of the classified football talks, who sadly lost his battle with cancer this week. At 78, he had throat cancer. He retired last year from doing it. I remember many an afternoon in the days before Soccer Saturday and watching games on Iraq Golds on the internet, when I would sit, watch teletext all afternoon and listen to the classified results come through.
Iconic. Did you also do what me and my dad used to do? And we'd be out in the town and you'd go into Dixon's and listen to him
or before then you could see the blokes outside and all the TVs in the window had been turned to teletext and they'd all be about 10 blokes just waiting for it to roll round.
Days before smartphones.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, the days
gone. You never get that anymore.
And actually, Sky Sports.
Well, Sky Sports obviously, but certainly not to the same extent. I think
BSB, wasn't it?
I think Soccer Saturday launched in about 1997, 98.
Yeah, it was
and that kind of changed things. And speaking of 1998, fun fact for you to start the show. The last time Chelsea lost on the opening day of the season was 1998.
Really?
Who were they playing?
1998.
Wow.
French World Cup.
Just after the French World Cup, yes. So Marcel Desailly, fresh into the side.
Who did they lose to? Burnley.
Not Burnley, no, it wasn't. That would have been very apt.
Leicester.
Yeah. Wasn't Leicester, although not too geographically far away. Coventry City.
Coventry City.
3-2, a Dion Dublin hat trick.
Actually, Coventry got a great result this weekend, but we're not allowed to talk about results, are we?
None of them happened. Now, we will go on to the results, obviously, and the Premier League, and obviously, I guess we start with United. I think all it shows is that we do need to bring some players in. I mean, I don't think you can particularly criticise. Obviously, Jesse Lingard went off after half an hour, and Tyler Blackett.
Gutted for Lingard.
And you could see he wanted to continue. And likewise, Tyler Blackett, I don't think did a particularly bad job at the back. And again, as well, it just shows a lack of depth because people are criticising Ashley Young for the second goal and he was at fault, but he's an attacking midfielder at left back. He's not going to be I thought in the first half he did quite a good job at wing back, but then he was put to be a proper full back and it's a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah, I think the thing about Ashley Young at wing back is his delivery is really, really strong.
Yeah.
And he, you know,
he's better than you'd think at tracking back in that kind of role as well.
Yeah, look, it's not his fault. He isn't a wing back. He's been asked to play though. He's not going to say no because he's been on the periphery of the squad for too long, isn't he? So he wants to have a chance to play.
The other option is get sold, and I don't think he really wants that. Well, maybe he does after this weekend.
I think the other thing that points, you've still got a very large squad. You haven't got a squad of fantastic players, but the other problem you've got is that a lot of the players who you'd probably expect to be pushing for a first team spot, a lot of them are injured still.
Yeah, so Valencia, Rafael was a late injury. Yeah, Luke Shaw, obviously.
Johnny Evans.
Robin Van Persie's still not fully fit.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd never play my violin for Man United, but
of course.
I think they'll get better.
And likewise, I would make no excuses because Swansea did everything they need to. I mean, it wasn't the greatest performance in the world by any stretch of imagination, but they didn't make any mistakes. Gylfi Sigurdsson looked reinvigorated.
Yeah, he did.
It was a very nicely taken goal from Key, and Ashley Williams looked like the player he did 2 years ago, because I think last year he was actually quite poor by the standards of the season, poor, but he was monumental at the back, the kind of form that got him linked to Liverpool and Arsenal.
But the other thing on Swansea is, you know, they had the Europa League last season,
and that obviously stretches.
You know, it does have a terrible, terrible effect on league form, doesn't it? I mean, I feel sorry for Hull, because they've just lost Snodgrass for what looks like four or five, dislocated kneecap.
Yeah.
You know, Snodgrass is a great signing for them. They've just sold Shane Long, and now suddenly, you know, they're looking at...
They're struggling to bring
Thursday
another strikers
night
as well.
And the rest of it, it's going to be hard for Hull. And, you know, I think Steve Bruce has assembled a decent squad, but he's going to have to bring someone in now, isn't he?
He's going to have to bring in, I think, at least a few more bodies, not just to cover the injuries, but to deal with the Europa League as well. Now,
and I think that's the great thing for Swansea this year. You know, they can just concentrate on their league form. They did well to stay up last season. Boney's a handful, isn't he?
Yeah.
Routledge is a good player.
It's striking that balance with European football between going out there and seeing it as a liability and actually going out and enjoying it. I think there's only maybe in recent years been four clubs who have been able to do that consistently, which are United, City, Arsenal and Chelsea. They've been able to go out and play their strongest team in Europe and then play their weakest team because they're already through. Even the likes of Tottenham, you see them in the Europa League, it's always a reserve team and they don't care to win it.
They always do pretty well, though.
They never look like they're threatening to win it, though, do they, Tottenham? And that's no disrespect to them. It's because it's such a stretch and such a poorly planned tournament. I mean, the year Fulham got to the final, they deserve fucking medals. And that was before the group stage was introduced. Or was it not?
I still don't know why Champions League teams go down into it.
It ruins it. It takes the whole magic out of it, I think.
It really does. Yeah. Because, you know,
for both tournaments.
I'd rather see the Cup Winners' Cup come back and... give a bit of jazz to a cup four, give a bit of jazz back to cups, and maintain the Europa League or the UEFA Cup, whatever you want to call it, make it a knockout tournament, but still have both winners go through to next season of Champions League, as is the case from now on.
I don't really mind the current format. The only problem I have is with
teams
who don't start in that tournament and entering it in the knockout phase.
It's too many games.
Who are going to be of a better quality than the teams already in it because they're in the Champions League?
The other option is get rid of the League Cup as well because there's too many games, but then that punishes clubs further down the spectrum. The likes of, we've seen, I mean, Jim's been talking about the fact they've got Newcastle coming to Gillingham next week.
Yeah.
That's great for them. You eliminate that, or maybe you just don't allow any team that's in Europe to play in the League Cup.
Yeah.
But then that gets rid of the level of competition, because the last few years you've had United, Liverpool in there who aren't in Europe.
Yeah.
In theory, they'd probably be able to walk it.
Going back to what you're saying about, you know, the whole idea of the League Cup is, you know, it's fantastic for the teams outside of the top division. If anyone listened to him, he's a bit of a cock. I can't remember his name, but the chairman of MK Dons.
He's like a
giddy little schoolboy about the fact that he's got Man United in the next game. Do you know what I mean? And you've got to understand that, haven't you?
I tell you what, that is going to be the only time that Man United draw a small team and are still a lot of people's favourites in that game, and people want them to win.
Yeah, I'd rather see Man United win over MK Dons.
I think that's Shep.
Especially after beating Wimbledon in the last round.
Yeah, bastards.
Cunts.
There's our scene bomb for the week. I think quite apt at the moment. The top four of the Premier League, albeit really just on alphabetical order and goals scored, is the top four from last season. Scary proposition at the moment. But looking at Arsenal, obviously, laboured to victory over Palace.
It was a bit of a dull game, really.
I saw bits of it in the pub.
Flashes of...
they did all right. I think they looked
Spironi was very good in goal, from what I saw.
We had a lot of ball, didn't do much of it.
I'd say Palace take more out of the game than Arsenal do, to be perfectly honest. I think the only plus points for Arsenal are no injuries. Koscielny's still harbouring this Achilles, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, you know, Sonogo doesn't really look like you can rely on him, does he, at all?
No. It looked like it was much better when Giroud come on.
Sonogo strikes me
as Alan Adier, but maybe a bit better.
I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, he's got a bit of a pedigree behind him, obviously playing in France and that, but we'll have to see. I think for tonight's game against Besiktas, it'll be more or less the same team as on Sunday, but without Sonogo starting up front. Giroud will definitely get a start.
Oh yeah, you would hope so.
Yeah.
For Arsenal's sake.
But Palace, considering that they had a manager leaving a day, 24 hours before kick-off, or you know, 48 hours.
You do wonder sometimes though that may have galvanised, especially with Keith Millen having worked under.
Is he going to get the job though? You know, do you just give him the job?
No, he's not. But if he's well liked,
why not?
And the players want to prove a point.
He's not done bad looking after the club every time he's asked to.
That's what we do. Yeah. Apologies, to the listeners that Andy's ordered some food.
I've ordered a nice big sausage.
And he's kindly agreed to let me have a chip.
Anyway, I won't talk with one that
I mean, the Palace one, that's obviously... I mean, that's a shocking one, because last week we were talking about relegation. I don't think any of us really mentioned Palace in relation to relegation, other than saying, oh, well, Pugis has got a job. But then to leave, pretty much out of the blue, the rumbling started earlier that day.
Yes.
Who goes in there now? I mean, a lot of names being bandied around. Malky McCann is the favourite.
Yeah. Neil Lennon's been talked about.
There was some talk of David Moyes, but I think he'll...
I think he was at 20-1 or Sherwood.
Sherwood's
well.
I think Sherwood's a great coach.
Apparently Sherwood's given
really
a... Apparently Sherwood's given a good interview for it. He always strikes me as getting close to self-parody, Tim Sherwood.
Yeah, well, he's a comedy character.
Is
he very
he's
much
David
so.
Brett.
Yeah.
And,
did anyone see him on Fantasy Football Club? You know, the... showed up Paul Merson and Fennersley on
what was he spouting
Friday night. No, he just said, he actually said, look, my biggest letdown is I'm too honest. Basically saying he's too outspoken.
I work too hard. That's my favourite.
Yeah. Never late.
No. I mean, he doesn't... You know what, I actually agree with that. You know, he's always said, look, I'm a coach. First and foremost, I'm a coach, and I work with my players. And if players don't want to play for me, then do you know what? I'll call them out, and they can sit in the reserves, or they can leave.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to work... He doesn't want to work with players who think they're doing the club that he's managing a favour.
Yeah.
And he had that, I suppose.
Well, of course he did. I mean, you look at some of the... Well, it's interesting you say that, because one of the players he brought back in was Adebayor, who has a bit of a reputation for that, and maybe it's unfair for him to have that reputation, therefore. But who knows?
One.
But the other one, speaking of spouting rubbish... Glenn Hoddle, who's just pitched up at QPR but is now being linked with the Palace job. Mainly, I think that's another one of those. And it's strange because the media hounded him out of the England job, but they seem firmly to be in favour of Glenn Hoddle getting a job back somewhere. Maybe they just see him as a realistic chance of being an English England manager again.
I don't think Glenn Hoddle is wise on just rushing into the first job that comes along. I think, you know what, ease yourself in gently.
I don't think Glenn Hoddle's that good a manager, to be honest.
I disagree with that.
Well, he was terrible at Wolves. He was pretty fucking bad at Tottenham. He's not managed for 8 years. I'd rather see Alan Kirbyshley get a job somewhere. I think Alan Kirbyshley was a far better manager. Alan Kirbyshley never did a bad job anywhere. He was unlucky that he didn't make a lot of friends, certainly in the media and throughout football. But
Kirbyshley's mistake was that he priced himself out of a move, didn't he? He turned down jobs which came from clubs that he believed to be lower than where he wanted to be as a manager. Oh. He wanted a higher profile job and he never got one.
It's crazy
and
to
then
think
he was out of the merry-go-round.
Kirbyshley was probably second or maybe third favourite behind Sam Allardyce, which is even crazier for the England job when McLaren got it. He was interviewed for it. He was my personal pick for it. I think he would have been terrible with hindsight, but hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And to be fair, at the time that job became available, I was very drunk a lot of the time. But elsewhere, we spoke about the top four. Chelsea probably looked the most convincing last night after a brief scare. Burnley, it's a nice moment, Burnley getting that goal and taking a lead, but then it was almost like, right, down to business now, lads.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea were as good as they needed to be for the certain amount of time they needed to be, and then they just reverted back into Mourinho sort of style and like, well, don't give any space away behind you. Fabregas put on probably the best display of passing in the Premiership that I've seen for over a season. He was pulling the strings all over the park. Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
And you're not going to judge him on one performance, are you? But
no.
I didn't think that he'd have the impact that he had on the game last night. And it's interesting that I think Barcelona didn't allow him to be a direct midfielder. I mean, Barcelona were playing with such a slower tempo. Last night... Certainly, every time he got the ball, he's looking forward. And he had, I mean, you're always going to look good when you've got the clever runs from Schürrle, Oscar, and Hazard.
Yeah,
well, you've got to remember, actually, Fabregas isn't new to the Premier League, obviously.
No.
You know, he was raised playing for Arsenal.
Played very, very well.
So, he's going to be, he's not like coming in, the Premiership is a new thing.
Yeah.
Unlike Costa, who dived.
He went down like most other players would in that situation.
Yeah.
He was on his way down, but he did get clipped, didn't he? Anyway, he got a yellow card for his troubles. Mourinho's come out and said that he's already being singled out by referees, isn't he? But he got off the mark last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, I mean, elsewhere throughout the Premier League...
It's good to see Leicester get a point, actually.
Yes, I was going to say, Leicester, good, the only promoted team to pick up any points at the weekend. And a very credible point, Everton, obviously, definitely, no slouches. Yeah, I think it goes without saying.
Lukaku didn't look much good, did he, last day? Well, he's still match fitness.
Potentially. It's hard to judge anyone after the first game.
I get the feeling that price tag is going to weigh heavily on Lukaku.
28
million. That's a lot of money, especially, I mean, it's almost double Everton's previous record signing, I believe, because I think the previous was Fellaini for 15. And
the problem for Everton is that every team that finished above them last year has gone and spent, three or four times that.
On new players.
As well as a couple of teams below.
Everton have decided that they needed a striker like him, and I think, you know, it's it's positive that Everton are spending that sort of money on a player, because they haven't done so in a very long time. But if he gets injured, then they're going to be in trouble.
And they're very weak up front,
and
Everton.
It isn't strengthening from last year, because they had him last year.
But
interesting,
you know. But elsewhere with the promoted clubs, QPR are gutted for Harry Redknapp. Oh, what a shame, and missing that last-minute penalty. QPR, it is harsh. It's probably an eye-opener. I mean, they've got today Leroy Fer doing medical, and Vargas, the Chilean, who I can't remember what position he plays in, but he's joining them on a loan.
Fer's a good signing.
He was one of Norwich's points on with Nathan Redmond last season. Bit of an upset actually at Stoke, who have been quite heralded in pre-season, especially signing Bojan Krkic, who by all accounts actually played quite well. I've not seen much football because I still don't have TV at home. Aston Villa getting a win, and Aston Villa,
surprised
a lot of people
not down.
I know, he usually turns up when Aston Villa win,
which is what, three times a season?
Certainly last season.
Sorry, Villa fans, but it's not an insult to Villa, it's just a reflection on how often Jerome joins us.
Jerome's commitment. Saidel Berahino, top goal scorer, getting a point for West Ham. He's the only player to have scored more than once this season.
West Brom, I mean, bloody hell, you didn't see that result coming, did you? Before kick-off.
No, I think...
I worry for West Brom this season, but...
Yeah, and I think I still would. I mean, the opening day of the season, it isn't easy to tell an awful lot. You can look down the years...
And there Villa beat Arsenal, didn't they, last season?
Exactly.
Villa beat Arsenal. Arsenal went on to have their best season in probably 5 or 6 years.
Definitely.
You never know. Likewise, the other year, Fulham beat QPR 5-0 on the opening day of the season, and then conspired to struggle for most of the rest of the season. So, it's one of those. But it's great to have football back. Even if the results don't go your way, it's nice to have something to base your Saturday around.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I think I am bad luck, or maybe Hayward's Heath is bad luck. So I've just moved to the town of Hayward's Heath. So I went down to my local, watched the game. Obviously, we lost. Very disappointing. It was the FA Cup extra preliminary round this weekend. The first round of the FA Cup on the way. These clubs streaming to get into Wembley. They never will. Hayward's Heath Town lost 11-0.
Oh, me too.
I can't remember. I don't know. Local YMCA or something. But it's...
Where did the 11th go in? What minute was the 11th scored in? Do we know?
Obviously, we did a lot of research into this.
21st.
But, no, I mean... Right. Yeah. So, I don't think that's great, though. But
look, that's...
Yeah. Elsewhere throughout the leagues, obviously, football's going... There's a full programme of fixtures tonight, actually. Jim is off to watch Gillingham against somebody who I'm reading off a list now. Where are Gillingham? Against Swindon. Oh, I'll tell you what, every time I've been to a lower league game... Everyone's hated Swindon. Everyone just hates Swindon, even when it's like irrelevant. I'm sure I've been to Tranmere once before, and everyone was singing about that. They hated Swindon.
I'm trying to remember why. I met some of Jim's mates.
In fact, actually, Gillingham hate Swindon because they used to play each other a lot in the.
But they 90s, also I think. There was an added incentive because they had. The rapist or the guy who ran somewhere over playing for him last season.
Oh, the goalkeeper.
No.
No, is it the one who played for Plymouth?
Yes.
Or Luke something.
Luke.
Goalkeeper, and he went away. He did about three, 4 years.
Yeah, he got sent down and then he came out.
Anyway, he liked shouting murderer at him, basically.
Lovely.
Gillingham fans like singling people out. But.
Yeah, well, Jim likes singling people out, as you've heard on the show many times. Actually an interesting aside from that. There's a lot of talk about Ched Evans going back to Sheffield United because he served half his sentence. He got a 5-year sentence. He served coming up to 2.5 years, and there's a lot of talk of Sheffield United coming back, it's causing issues. The main Sheffield United fans group have actually said he served his time.
Yeah.
He can come back. Done half of it.
But a lot of, well,
yeah. In the eyes of the law.
In the eyes of the law. A lot of fans, but there's been a petition with something like 65,000 Sheffield United fans saying we do not want Chad Evans back at the club. I'd be interested. I know we have a couple of Sheffield United fans who listen.
But what do you expect someone to do? What, just not go? What
it's difficult.
It's at the end of the day, it's a job.
How you stop. Can you stop somebody making their living?
Yeah.
And that is how he makes his living, unfortunately. It's a high profile job. Yeah. He gets a lot of money for it. He still maintains his innocence, as does his partner, who has actually stood by him. Despite the fact he cheated on her. It's not that whole thing of it.
Interesting. Actually,
I believe there are still appeals ongoing, so it's a difficult. I wouldn't like to. I mean, there was a similar last season. There was a young Belgian lad that West Ham were interested in, and they decided not to sign him because he'd been done for rape. He was part of a gang rape when he was a teenager, and he'd served his time. He's come out. He's now played for Belgium, I think, which was controversial over there. It's difficult. And Lee Hughes was the notable one as well.
He has gone on
to make quite a career at a lower level, but at one point he was tipped for the Premier League. He was. Coventry spent famously spent five million and £1 on him because they had to spend more than 5 million on him.
Can I as we're talking about Sheffield United, if any Sheffield United fans listen to the show, like, how are you guys feeling? So before the season started, you were favourites.
One of the favourites
to win the league and go up.
Yeah.
And so. Pretty much like last season, you've had a dismal start. It's worse than last season. So, two games, two losses. I don't know who they're playing tonight, actually.
Sheffield, I can tell you tonight.
What's going on there? Like,
they're away at Peterborough. So again,
away at Peterborough, not an easy one.
Not an easy one. Maybe in Peterborough have started with two wins out of two.
Yeah, so really tough. Where's the rock going to stop, or is it?
Well, the thing you've got to think as well is it's early days in a season. I mean, people remember Sunderland when Roy Keane took over, they'd lost their first five games, albeit in all competitions, and they went on to win the championship. 92-93. I don't always want to go back to United, but we picked up 1 point from our first three games, went on to win the title. Teams can do. No, that was later.
Really?
That 92-93, the first year of the Premier League. We lost to Everton 3-0 at home. But it's. It's not the big all and end all, not necessarily doing it. These days, maybe it is more so, certainly in the Premier League, but Sheffield United fans probably shouldn't be too disheartened unless there are major issues at the club.
My question actually was, which I didn't actually go around saying, was do you actually, before a ball was kicked, first game of the season, did you make yourselves favourites to go up, or is this just... overhyping from the bookies.
Is it a little bit much, do you think
that there's a little bit more over expectation to what you can deliver?
See that quite a lot in the lower leagues, don't you? The club with the biggest ground is automatically made favourite. And rarely, as has been shown by the struggles of the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, that's something to cheer the Sheffield United fans up over the years. Nottingham Forest, Leeds, Portsmouth at the moment, it's not always the case. You might be a big club, but and interest actually on the Championship, I was talking to a lad we work with who's a Fulham supporter. They've lost their first two games at home to Millwall at the weekend. Terrible result for them, and I said to him, they've really got to avoid the same trap as someone like Wolves. Wolves went down consecutive years, a few other clubs have. I think Leeds didn't go down consecutive years, but they went down in quite quick succession. Sheffield Wednesday, Forest, a few of these clubs.
Yeah.
But they all have much bigger grounds and much bigger fan bases. And the problem with Fulham is so much of their revenue in the Premier League was attracting neutral fans and attracting fans from other clubs to go into their neutral stand. When you're playing against Peterborough and Crawley, and no disrespect to these clubs, rather than Man United and Arsenal and Chelsea and Liverpool.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell out. You are going to go back to Fulham in the 90s where they were getting 4,000, 5,000 people.
Especially
and then you don't get the revenue.
Well.
And then all of a sudden you're one of the smaller clubs in the division. And then it's...
Yeah.
Maybe it's clubs going back to their rightful place. Not that it's a bit of a crass term, because I don't think there is a rightful place for a club. If you're good enough, you deserve to be at the top. But for a club with their size of fan base, I mean, maybe say Brentford start doing well and the fans from West London who are neutral start going to Brentford.
It's a possibility. I think
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for us, though. Do you know what? Very interesting fixture for us tonight. We're away at Blackpool, so that's when we lost 1-0 away to Bournemouth and probably should have picked a point up. We'll see how we do against Blackpool away.
Fair play to Blackpool, because they've been in the real doldrums, I think.
They're getting 11 players out.
They've lost two games out to. They have just signed, and speaking of unsavoury characters earlier, Niall Ranger.
Oh, God. That's who I was referring to. Swindon player who people were shouting murderer at. Niall Ranger.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But he hasn't helped his case,
He was never convicted of murder.
He's got a tattoo of a gun on his face. Yeah.
He's not a model citizen, is he?
He's got his own name tattooed on his face.
I think he might be in the shape of a gun. Either way.
He's a bizarre character, yeah. But Blackpool, by all accounts, they've put in two solid performances in their opening two games. And bear in mind, they can only get four subs for the first game.
They've not been tonked, they've scored goals, so it's not the worst start in the world for them.
At the same time, one must remember that their owner is a massive prick. And all the Blackpool fans want him out, so...
Whole family's a bunch of tossers.
Well, Carl Oyston, he's another one, an unsavoury character who was convicted, I believe, of rape. It was a member of the Oyston family, and I think it was either Carl Oyston, or if he's the son, it was his father who was the owner, and then has come back
to run the club. Is this allegedly?
No, this is... It was in the 90s. I read it on Wikipedia. No, I don't want to suggest anyone's name.
I read it on Wikipedia.
One of them has.
Anything that precedes
They'll
that,
shut us
no,
down.
It is a genuine thing, and I obviously am basing this off things I've read on the internet, so I apologise for saying that.
Guilty until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty.
There's
certainly been something that's gone on there in the past. God, cheery show, this, isn't it?
Well, all right, so let's be cheery about Millwall.
A couple that's easy to be cheery about.
Do you know what? For the first time in a long time, you know, it's not been the most exciting times for Millwall fans over the last couple of years. When Dennis Wise was player manager, they got to the FA Cup final,
side, then you had Dennis Wise as your manager.
I think things are looking on the up, aren't they, with the manager in place. You know, he's gone and corrected the mistakes that Lomas was making.
Yeah. Who is it at Millwall?
What's his face?
Let's have a look and see if it's mentioned in the page.
Ollie. They call him Ollie, didn't they?
Ian Holloway.
Ian Holloway.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Holloway's doing a really good job. And do you know what? Testament to him that he is actually a really good manager, especially in the lower leagues.
I think he's a bit too wacky for the top flight. Maybe at the Craig Club, but he did okay with Blackpool. But
got some great dance moves.
Yeah, I do find him a bit contrived at times. And also, one that I'll talk about after the show because I can't talk about it on the show. But a friend of mine had an encounter with him, and he wasn't the most savoury of characters, let's say.
Talk about another bright note.
Can't make that.
A proper bright note. What about Fleetwood? How well are Fleetwood doing?
They are, and I said when they left Mac they wouldn't
first,
have a problem.
So first season in the professional leagues, and they're 2-2, aren't they? Two wins from two?
Well, no, it's not their first, it's their second season. They went up to League 2 last season, to League 1.
Sorry.
2-2 for a fishing village in the North West.
Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad at all. We talked about it last week. You look at the clubs up there at the start of the season. Crawley are 2-2 as well. There's a lot of
money bags. Crawley.
No, that's it. Well, it's funny people say that, but Fleetwood have done exactly the same. Fleetwood have bought their way up the leagues.
People like Fleetwood.
People like them because they're jolly northerners. Whereas I live near Crawley, it's grim. No offence to anyone from Crawley listening, but you've got to admit it's not fucking Venice. It's what clubs are doing these days. We've seen ideas. We've talked about Fulham. Fulham bought their way into the Premier League. Fulham had Louis Sahar in the Championship. They got promoted. They spent £11 million on Steve Marley, who was terrible.
I don't think Keegan was cheap when he was managing in the
lower
leagues.
Keegan wasn't cheap. Yeah. No, I mean, they were able to bring in better players. Even people at the time, like Chris Coleman, was playing below his level.
They've had Damien Duff on their books, they've had Berbatov on their books, they've had a lot of good strikers.
Yeah. Leicester City have spent an awful lot of money to get back to the Premier League. QPR spent an awful lot of money to get back up there. That's not to say these clubs might not have got up there anyway because they're fairly big clubs, but the likes of Fleetwood and Crawley are non-league clubs who've bought their way up. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
If someone had done that at Northwich Vicks, I would have been a very happy man many years ago. But you can't begrudge these fans the chance to have that.
Fair enough.
It's not like a Chelsea or a City where they are spending silly money. Maybe they are spending relatively silly money, but the nature of football these days, you've just got to be happy.
Yeah, you have clubs, the way the game's going.
Maybe it's unsustainable. Maybe the Crawley owner will walk away one day and leave him fucked. But
maybe he will. Maybe who knows? He will.
Who knows?
What's going on tonight?
Well, there's a full lot of fixtures throughout the Football League.
There's a load of Football League features. There's also Champions League qualifiers, aren't
there? There is. Arsenal away at Besiktas, who...
Welcome to hell.
On paper, it's not a particularly nice fixture. Nobody, and it's a bit of a cliche, likes going to Turkey to play these games. The atmosphere will be heavy. Denver Bar's playing for them. The younger Turkish side who was at Arsenal as well, Ogun Ayaztep, or whatever he was called.
A while ago, yeah.
Who's gone there and by all accounts flourished. But at the same time, Besiktas finished third in Turkey. And the only reason they're in the Champions League is that Fenerbahce are banned from Europe. This is the second of two seasons. Besiktas finished...
Didn't realise that.
They finished 10 points behind Fenerbahce, so it wasn't even close.
Scored a hat-trick in the last round, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's obviously in form.
Yeah. But, I don't really see them as much as a threat. I think it'll be a tough game. But I think if we... We'll play a similar team to as we played on Saturday.
Yeah.
Barring the striker.
And either way, you'll have them at the Emirates. So if you go there and lose 1-0, I would still be confident about getting past.
I think we'll win tonight and we'll win.
Do you know what? Is this their 7th or 8th? I think you've had 7 successful qualifying campaigns from the Champions League every season. And you always win it in the first leg, didn't you?
Mm.
You're normally going into the second leg with a 2 or 3 goal, 4 goal cushion. So... Let's see what happens.
Well, if you don't want to watch Arsenal...
Wenger normally gets it spot on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you don't want to watch Arsenal tonight, it's also Napoli versus Athletic Bilbao, which promises to be a cracker of a game.
I think it could be a little bit niggly.
Well, yeah. A Napoli side managed by Rafa Benitez, they're not going to be the greatest flair team in the world, with all due respect to
them.
And Bilbao, I mean... They've lost a lot of the players from their great team in 2012, but they're still going to have some quality players. They've still got Munain, or however it's pronounced, Ika Munain, who for me was the best player when they beat us.
They've also got a load of youth that always come through, haven't they? They've got quite a few youth academy.
Well, they have the whole thing, you've got to be battered to play for Bilbao, so unless you have some sort of Basque origin.
Yeah, you have to bring the
talent. They won't sign foreign players.
Do they still work to that, criteria?
I mean, they had Amburieta, the Venezuelan lad who went to Fulham, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but his parents were Basque.
Oh, there you go.
And they've had Vicente Lizarazu, who was French, but from the French Basque region. But then tomorrow night as well, you've got Lille Porto, which would be a great name. But also, controversially, you've got Maribor versus Celtic.
Yeah.
I think Maribor are going to beat them.
Maribor are now slouches. It's been seen the Slovakian teams and the Slovenian teams this season have done okay.
Yeah.
I think they knocked one of the Slovenian teams or Slovakia. I think it's Slovakia.
Well, Maribor are there on merit, whereas Celtic aren't.
Yeah.
That's true.
If I'm Celtic, I mean, yes, you want to get through and forget about it, but also you're going to be hanging your head low. To be fair, they beat Dundee United 6-1 at the weekend, so they're probably riding the crest of the wave.
Was it 6-1?
6-1, yeah. And nice. Rangers beat Clyde last night
8-1.
So, you know.
God.
Yeah.
If only you could see Chris's face.
Yeah.
He's not happy about it.
It's a silly league. But, you know, and also Europa League like this week.
Hull have got
a Lokeren in Belgium who you expect Hull to win, but Belgium, it's not a weak league. And likewise, Spurs playing AEL Limassol from Cyprus. The Cypriot league is deceptively strong. I mean, Anorthosis Famagusta and Apollon Nicosia were the famous ones, got to the quarterfinal of the Champions League the other year. Spurs should go there and win it.
I think Spurs are going to probably surprise a few people, be a lot more steady, a little bit more consistent than we used to see them. I think Pochettino is going to bring that to them. I mean, they got a fantastic result against West Ham in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Eric Deer, the young lad they've brought in from Sporting Lisbon, but English, and one of the few who's gone out there and I think he's lived out there since he was 10, to be fair, but gone out there and he's developed.
So what's his international...
He played for England under-21s.
Right.
Yeah, he's an Evertonian.
Okay.
The interesting thing about Pochettino on that game was that he brought on Harry Kane, he brought on Andros Townsend, he brought on players, didn't he? And he's he's trying to reinvigorate a squad that he's inherited.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what he does there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Europe, one that might bring a bit of joy to the hearts of Englishmen everywhere. There's been a transcript of a Russian FA meeting published, and there's been quite a bit of controversy this week because three teams from Crimea, which is obviously still technically part of Ukraine but has been annexed, have joined the Russian leagues and played in the Russian Cup.
Right.
And therefore UEFA, FIFA and FES game, because that flies in the face of their laws, because without special dispensation you can't play in a foreign league. There are some clubs, obviously famously the likes of Swansea and Cardiff over here, but that's more historical. There's also Vaduz, who are from the Liechtenstein capital, but play in Switzerland, right, and represent Liechtenstein every year in the UEFA Cup because they always win the Liechtenstein Cup.
But did you just rule that off?
Yeah, I knew that off the top. I actually did know that off the top of my head. Wow. This story I don't know off the top of my head, but there's the three clubs, their names are pretty unpronounceable to a Western tongue.
Yeah. So they're in a Ukrainian top flight.
No, they were in the Ukrainian leagues. I'm not sure they were top flight, but they're now in the Russian third tier.
Right.
Two of them are clubs that technically disbanded at the end of last season for financial reasons, and I am using inverted commas.
And then it just pops up again.
And then new clubs have been formed that are pretty much the same.
Right, yeah.
And this, despite the fact that their ultras have made it quite clear they consider themselves Ukrainian.
Yeah, I bet.
But there's been a meeting of the Russian FA this week, and all the owners of the various Russian clubs, and they're very worried about the fact that they're going to have the World Cup taken off them because of it.
Mm.
Because...
Won't happen.
It would take a long time.
Won't happen.
They would probably get small sanctions at first, but the problem is, if Putin considers them to be Russian, he has overall control of the Russian FA, as they made quite clear in that meeting.
Yeah.
And he's not going to back down and say, well, no, these clubs go back to Ukraine.
Yeah.
And if he does that, then they might have to give up the World Cup.
Mm.
If they won't adhere. And as they said in that meeting, the only two countries that could host it from Europe, just like that, are England and Germany. And because Germany have had it recently, and the thing that I believe the thought behind it is,
FIFA can still be bought, but they can be, and Sepp Blatter is good mates with Vladimir Putin,
and he had meetings with him last week to discuss the World Cup. But if they have to stand by this, if there's enough pressure and there's no guarantee that Blatter will still be in charge, FIFA may well give it to us simply so we shut up about all the corruption that goes on.
Doubt it. Maybe. But, you know, it's a glimmer of hope.
We've been the contingency plan for a lot of World Cup.
We're
the contingency plan for Rio.
Every time it's... Well, no, USA are for Qatar. Because it's got to be outside
Europe. We were for Brazil as well,
but
apparently.
We are for pretty much every World Cup. Because
we
could
are the
host
perfect
one,
country.
Which makes it ridiculous, because we're not too big. We have good transport links. We have the stadiums. We
already
have the fan base.
We've got the history, the culture.
Anyone would think that...
Shit national team as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not going to win the
bloody
thing.
Yeah, but Qatar's national team have done really well. Oh, yeah, wait, no, they haven't.
Wait, no.
They've never played in anything, ever.
Yeah. I don't know. They're slightly better than us, still.
Probably.
but, so a glimmer of hope. And a bit controversial.
Yeah, well, you never know. One day we'll see it.
And the other thing this week... Thiago Motta.
Oh, have you seen this?
This is a horrible view. Thiago Motta.
Well, hang on, it's not Thiago Motta though, is it?
Well, no, it's Brandão, the Bastia striker. So, Paris Saint-Germain played Bastia at the weekend.
Beat him 2-0.
Zlatan went off injured, as did Gregory van der Veel. I think it was a bit of a nasty game. And there's a CCTV footage in the tunnel.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Of Brandão, the striker, 34-year-old Portuguese
waiting for
Thiago Motta. When Thiago Motta comes in, he walks up to him, headbutts him, and then legs it into his dressing room.
So all his
teammates hide him. Motta goes right after him, and they show Motta, face streaming with blood, the PSG players holding him back.
Yeah.
Press fucking charges.
That is not heat at the moment.
It doesn't matter.
It's not heat. It's premeditated.
And it doesn't matter if you're on a football pitch in a football
for
tunnel.
For me,
PSG are campaigning for a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
Why not just take it out of football? Bear in mind,
Brandão is 34, so a lifetime ban isn't going to affect him that much.
Yeah.
But for me, that would be a season ban.
He's let his club down, though, hasn't he?
He's let himself down. He's let his
everything.
Grounds for dismissal.
Thinking about it, that is much worse than Suarez biting someone, I think.
Well, yeah.
In a way. I mean, they're both horrible crimes. Yeah. They are crimes.
Yeah, but at least what Suarez did was in the heat.
Yeah, well, that's the difference.
But that's the thing.
I'm not saying it was justified.
There's he like punching his fist?
There's right? not a lot of other things on the foot which I can think of that are premeditated. The one that we were talking about yesterday was Roy Keane on Haaland.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, that was still a bit in the context of the game, but it's not to justify, it was horrible. And
even there was one, I think it was like 98 or 99, Ray Parler. Just he got hacked by someone, I can't remember who it was, and for the rest of the game, all he did was just fucking hassle him. The whole game, he got him back. But that was...
It was Alan Titchmarsh, wasn't it, when they were doing one of the gardens?
Yeah. Got his bra.
Oh, God, right. Poor Charlie Dimmy. Well, I think...
That was a bad one.
What was? Ground floors or Titchmarsh? Nasty. But yeah, I think on that note...
Should we just leave it at that?
I think so. I want another pint.
You want another pint. I want another pint. Chris is going to go back to work.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Dan and Jim are at work.
Yeah.
Doing nothing.
Well, Dan isn't at work. He's got a hangover. And that's why he's calmed down.
That's why he had time off the other week, isn't it?
I believe so.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I
was talking about the boring meeting with Justin. If you'd seen Dan Silver's face, Christ, it was a picture.
Yeah, almost as good as yours and mine.
Well, you know, we can't all be blessed with good looks.
So we'll be back next week with hopefully a little bit more interesting, useless information.
Let's talk about horrific
convicts
people,
and football rapists and stuff. It's been a bit.
Also. Everyone's got to be looking forward to Monday Night Football next week. Liverpool City. That's going to be a cracker.
Yeah.
They haven't sold the world. I'm doing a campaign at the moment. They haven't sold all the tickets for that. They're still pushing for tickets for that.
Why?
For City. I don't know. Don't know.
Because City are a massive club. And on that
they don't sell their tickets.
You know the new you've scored. We're on Twitter at Football Podcast. Footballpodcast.tumblr.com if you want to follow our blog. We don't post much, but hey, have a look. We're on Facebook / The Football Podcast, and of course write an iTunes review and we will read it out. It might take us a few weeks, but we'll definitely do it. The more stars you give us, the more we'll like it, and the more you slag off Dan Silver, the more we'll enjoy it. So have a good week, enjoy the football, and try and keep out of trouble.
We're not a results show, we just talk about them.